Good morning, everyone. My name is Julie Haskell, and I am the manager and head of work life and global inclusion for State Street Corporation. We are so proud to be here. We've been involved with the conference actually for 10 years, and we're here today with 55 of our employees. When you go to the Massachusetts Conference for Women in December, you'll see that we'll be there with 1,500 of our employees. So this is just a phenomenal experience, and we're so proud to be part of it. The plug for State Street right now is booth 647 on the exhibit floor. Definitely take a chance to visit that booth and get a chance to talk with our amazing employees. Personally, I just have to tell you, I am so thrilled at this opportunity to be part of this phenomenal audience and this phenomenal panel. I can guarantee you each one of us is invaluable to someone in our lives or many people in our lives, and the talent in this room, I know, is just outrageous. But as women, I think we tend not to play the card of self-promotion first. Having heard from Cindy this morning at the State Street Breakfast and last year at the Pennsylvania Conference for Women, I can tell you one thing's going to change. You're going to be able to brand yourself and talk about how phenomenal you are when you leave this room. The moderator, as I was just saying for our panel, is the amazing Cindy Ratzlaff. Cindy, now I definitely worth an applause. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be saying that when you leave the room, as well as the other amazing panelists. Cindy was named on the Forbes 20 Best Branded Women on Twitter, and for Forbes Women, called her one of the most influential women on entrepreneurship. I can tell you in Forbes magazine, you'll probably be seeing something similar in the future. A contributor to the Business Insider, writing on social media and marketing strategy, her essays on happiness, imagine that, an essay on happiness, we can all take that, have been on Oprah.com, they've been on CNN.com, and WowOhWow.com. As Vice President of Brand Marketing at Rodale, Cindy pioneered a marketing methodology called the Marketing 360, now widely emulated throughout her industry. Her signature Marketing 360 campaign was used for the launch of the South Beach Diet and garnered her a spot on the prestigious Advertising Age Marketing 50 list. Her firm, Brand You, specializes in digital branding and content marketing. She co-authored two best-selling books. I can tell you I've read one of them. It's a great book. They're on happiness and they're on boundaries. One is Queen of Your Own Life, and the next is Queenisms, 101 Jolts for Inspiration. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Cindy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. One of the great things about being here is getting to meet incredible women that I might not meet in any other walk of life. And these three, I met Beth before, but I had not met the other two, and it's absolutely thrilling. So here's how we're going to do this. Are you guys getting a reverb from me here? I'm going to turn it this way a little bit and see if that helps. Okay, let's try that. So the way we're going to do this is we have four questions that we're all going to address, and I'll go right down the line, and each one of them will have an opportunity. But to begin with, I want to introduce us. You've already heard about me, so I would like Beth to start and introduce herself.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. I am here with 100 of my QVC Power Women friends. Where are you? Please check us out at the booth if you have a minute. QVC is a proud sponsor of the Women's Conference. This is our second year, and we're having twice as much fun as we did last year. So we're looking forward to more and an opportunity to get to know each and every one of you. If you haven't had an opportunity, please stop by our booth. One of the things I'm really proud of as being an executive and a team member at QVC is that our overarching community initiative and our work is all about promoting the success and wellness of women. And we do that through the power of relationships. So I'm looking forward to our panel this morning, and I would just share with you that I've been with QVC for 19 years. I'm the Executive Vice President of Human Resources Worldwide, and I'm also a mother, proud mom of three children, and Matthew, 21, Annie, 19, and Natalie, 15, who just got invited to homecoming last night. And my husband and college sweetheart of 28 years. So, looking forward to being with you this morning.
So,
In introducing myself this morning, I came up with a list that I titled Five Things You Wouldn't Know About Hee Sung by Reading Her Bio in the Conference Booklet. So, number one, I have many AKAs or aliases. So I was born Song Hee Sung because in Korea, you always put your family name first, then the piece that identifies you as a sister, and then only the last piece is left for your individuating part. So Song Hee Sung is my name. My sister's name is Song Hee Suk. But when I came to the States, I adopted the name Ann, named myself after my best friend in third grade named Ann Lambden, who was no longer my best friend after I stole her name. And then when I first got married, I became Ann Baldwin. Needless to say, the name nor the marriage worked. So now I've come around to Hee Sung Song, something that I can fully embrace. Someone told me once that only great people change their names to make it wholly their own. I'm not sure if that's true, but since I've changed it so many times, I kind of want to believe it. So if any of you out there have also changed your names, you must also be great. Just keep that in mind. The second thing was I was made in Korea. My family and I immigrated to the States when I was three. That was 44 years ago. Yes, I'm 47. I'll do the math for you. But in those 43 years, I was brought up in like in a poor area in Baltimore, but then we moved to the burbs and then and bought a monstrous house. My dad was the first Korean owner of a dry cleaners in Baltimore. There are another hundreds, if not thousands. And then I went to a pretty WASPy universities for graduate school and college. Number three, I studied psychology with an anthropologist because I didn't want white middle class norms to be my norms or what we perceive to be universals. Number four, I built Mighty Engine to change the world, well, at least work with people who are trying to change the world. And it's really amazing that I get to go to work every day working with people who are trying to change things like really move the needle on things like violence in the urban areas or national organ donor registration or basic girl rights in India or in places in Africa. And lastly but not least, I won the Kid Lotto. My son Parker was named after Spider-Man. I saved the best version of myself for him. And the things that didn't make this list, I know how to write a kick-ass business plan. I'm looking for a kick-ass PR expert to join our Mighty Engine team. Yes, that was a little drop there. And then I have a secret superpower, and I accidentally pulled off my pinky toe when I was a kid. If you want to learn about more of these things, then come stop by my roundtable discussion later this afternoon.
Hi, good morning. I'm Nancy Phelan, and I have the pleasure of working at Bristol-Myers Squibb. I'm delighted to be on this panel today. I also have the pleasure of leading the Worldwide Customer Engagement Center. And this morning you heard our president on stage talk about the serious diseases that we work in, that we're committed to helping our patients prevail. My team of deep functional multi-channel experts take that a step further and make sure that when we have customers that need information, we get it for them how they want it, when they want it. We make it as easy as possible. So if you have a physician that's sitting on a bedside and helping a patient trying to figure out how to make a diagnosis or how to prescribe something, we're not the ones that figure out the dosing. We're the ones that figure out how to make it really easy for them to get it on their mobile phone, because that's what we do. We're all about championing the customer and helping our customers get what they need, when they need, however they need it. I'm delighted to be here today. I do have all 10 toes, unlike my partner over here. And I also have the great pleasure of having two great kids, a great husband, and two semi-decent dogs. One got out this morning, so, you know, it's still out. Jury's still out on that one. And look forward to the panel today.
Thank you. I love that. I'm going to use that Hee Sung for all my future speeches I ever do. I'm going to write a list. That was fabulous. So let's get right to it, because I know that what you're really wanting to hear from us are tips and strategies and ideas around this concept of personal branding. So I just wanted to start out with this question. What is a personal brand, and how does one go about getting it? So I'm going to start and just tell you my own personal opinion of what a personal brand is. And I think you are already a personal brand, whether you know it or not. Now, however people perceive you in the world is your current personal brand. I believe you can change that brand, you can reinvent, you can tweak it, you can highlight certain things in your personal brand, but the most important thing is to know how people perceive you already. There are lots of tools in the workplace for you to understand how people perceive you, but if you are an entrepreneur, it's a little bit harder. The keys to understanding and using your personal brand are to find those highlights, those gifts, those things you really want people to see, and to start talking about them. So you might want to ask yourself, what am I most gifted in? What do people get when they have a relationship with me? You know, I'm on time. That could be a personal gift. I'm a good listener. That could be a personal gift. And that might be part of your personal brand, especially if you're in client counseling. You might want to make sure that people know that you are a very gifted listener. And believe me, that is a gift. Once you've identified all of the various elements of your brand, then you need to learn how to really communicate them. And I think we're going to talk about that a little bit more. I would like to ask Beth in particular, so from an HR point of view, so you're in a corporation, and from an HR point of view, when they're looking to hire people, how do people achieve that special something in their personal brand that leads them to have you and your team say, you're hired?
Well, first, Cindy, I appreciate the question. I have interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people in my career, and I'm always struck by how some people are completely unprepared. You know, they have not done the homework on the company, QVC, or on me. I'm always struck by those that have. So one thing I would say is you want to show up at your personal best. You want to have done your homework. And I think that you want to cast a very positive shadow. There are two kinds of people in the world. There's the glass half full people and maybe the glass half empty. And I would challenge each and every one of you to, in thinking of your personal best, make sure you show up with the glass half full. You want to cast a very positive, optimistic, and confident shadow and be you. So the other thing I would say is to be at your personal best. You want to be your genuine self. And when you are yourself, you're being genuine, you're in touch with your values, what's important to you, and you've been preparing for this interview, you are going to show up. And people that show up for me are people that are, as Cindy said, actually, with her personal brand, really, really great listeners. People that look you in the eye and have great questions. We heard that from one of our speakers this morning. Be curious and have great questions. And then be your genuine self. I can tell when people are showing up for an interview, and I can tell when I'm getting to really know people. And the people that make the lasting impression on me are people that I thought were true to themselves. They really showed up. They were positive. They were open. They were really great listeners, and we made a connection. And this is something, as women, we're really great at. We make connections. So that would be my advice, and come to QVC, and you'll be hired.
I love that. Do your homework on the place that you're going to interview so that you can see yourself in the company and help guide the interviewer to the talents and gifts that you have that would most be appreciated by them. That was a great one, Beth. Hee-sung, so where do factors like gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, social economic class, all of those things come into play when you're developing your personal brand? Should we homogenize ourselves or not?
Well, the simple answer is where do all those things come to play is everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're female, male, white, black, yellow, red, green, straight, gay, transgender, undecided, poor, middle class, working class. We've all been in situations where we felt at least a little uncomfortable, if not altogether out of place. And for some of us, that feeling is pretty much an everyday experience. For others, maybe if you're, I can say this because there aren't many of you out here, white male in corporate America, maybe that's far less a frequent experience. But for the rest of us, we have felt a little uncomfortable. But my mentor has always said to me that culture is like the air you breathe. You're not aware of it until you feel deprived of it. And I would say use that cultural deprivation to really get to know what it is that makes you. That really, so you can better understand what's making you exactly comfortable. Is it on a racial level, on a class level, on a gender level? And then use that knowledge to your advantage. And make sure that it's you who's dictating what that is, whether it's that you're a woman, and for many of us, we may not have that choice if we're working in an environment where it's mostly male, because that's always going to be the thing that defines you differently from everyone else, or that you're African American, or that you're coming from a working class neighborhood. For me, it's that I'm an Asian American cultural psychologist. I'm the chief strategist at Mighty Engine. I am a warrior mom, but those are things that I choose to define myself. And that's after a lot of years feeling uncomfortable. And I have to say that even leading up to this conference on personal branding, all right, my right elbow hurts when I walk into a room and it's not feng shui, like it's not, there's something off, you know? Same thing happened when I was thinking about this conference because a presentation on personal branding for women, I felt like in a world where, you know, there's still genital mutilation that's used for, you know, a passage to womanhood, or where girls are disguised as boys so they can do things like go to school, or a woman who talks about the hateful portrayals of women in video games, she herself becomes threatened with violent acts. That I thought it seemed so privileged to have this conversation on personal branding for women, but then I thought that's the very reason why this conversation is so important. That we need to make these conversations much more commonplace, much more frequent, so that, in ending, I want to say that be comfortable being uncomfortable. That will allow you to know what your personal brand is all about in all those nuanced ways that make you who you are.
Thank you so much. Bravo and thumbs up to that. All of your voices matter. Every single one of you. There's not a woman in this room whose voice does not matter and whose experience and background that you bring to the table is urgently important. This question is for Nancy. So are there branding lessons that individuals can learn from really corporate successes? You know, corporations are so successful and skilled at branding themselves and helping us understand who they are. Are there things that we can transfer from a good corporate branding strategy to an individual personal branding strategy?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much for the question. I think it's a great one. When I think about great brands, to me, they are brands that are much bigger than just advertising. And I think that's a really important thing. So many times people fall down when they hear about personal brands because they think it's just what you speak about yourself. And that's a miss, a really big miss. When I think about a great brand, it is something that is remarkably consistent. It is something that is distinct. It is something that can live and can grow and can allow you to have a long lifespan. So something like BMW, the ultimate driving machine. When I drive on the road and I have a bit of a commute, I drive by a lot of different things on the road. Guess what? BMW, they're the ones with the really cool things, that the white things that wrap up the cars. It's different. I drive by other car trucks. They don't do anything different. There's things about pulling it through and being consistent in absolutely every single thing that you do that corporations that get branding do consistently. And that's the piece that I think we can all apply today. So understand your brand and show up consistently. That is a very, very important thing. If you show up inconsistently, one day you're BMW, the next day you're Fiat, people don't know who you are. They don't know how to be prepared. People don't know if you're going to actually follow through with what you say you're going to do. And so I would encourage all of you, we all have a brand, whether you know it or not, every one of us has a brand. Go figure out what it is. Go get a plan in place to make it actually be something that you want it to be, because we're all works in progress. And then make sure that you are remarkably consistent in how you tend to your brand. Use it as a decision filter to say, when I'm going to prioritize my time and when I'm going to prepare for a meeting and when I'm going to engage in someone, how should I think about this through the lens of my brand? You are the only person that owns that brand, and you are the person that absolutely should be the caretaker to make sure that you are incredibly consistent about it.
Thank you, Nancy. And that leads right into a, okay, we get it. We know we need a personal brand. We know we already have one. But how? How do we communicate what we've decided is important about us? How do we communicate those things, those gifts and talents that we want elevated above all others? So, Hee-Sing, I'm going to put you on the spot and just say, you know, get us started. How do we communicate our brand to others?
So, if you're an artist, you know that you have to get your self-portrait right before you move on to your masterpieces. Or if you're a clinical psychologist, you have to get to know your own potential transference and projection issues before you help other people with their own problems. It's no different when it comes to personal branding, whether you're trying to advance your career, start your own business, or save the world. You need to get to know yourself and what that is at the core. I sometimes use this analogy. Martin Luther King's core, what motivated him, what made him do all that he did, I mean, his entire life was dedicated to this vision that he held at the core of himself, which was a just society. So I ask each one of you, what is at your core? What motivates you and what energizes you? For me, it's kind of like the happily ever after of a good romantic comedy, you know, where you've got the guy and you've got a great family, but also that particular family dream of mine is also not exclusive with running an amazing company that's devoted to good works. It's where motherhood is not a self-abnegation of selfhood. They're one and the same. So I would say that the way to start is to really take the time to get to know yourself, because once you do, everything else comes out much more easily, because everything else that does come out matters. The way you shake someone's hand, I know they're dead fish handshakers out there, you know? I know, because I'm always amazed when someone shakes my hand that way, but I know they exist. So do you shake your hands with the dead fish handshake or with a firm one? Do you look at someone in the eye? Ask yourself, what does my resting face look like? If you don't know what your resting face is, it's that face that you give when you think no one's looking. Because people are looking, and they judge you to see if you're consistent in all other ways with your authenticity and your brand. Everything else matters, and it's saying so tedious and tiresome if it's not authentic, as Beth was saying. But if it's truly reflective of who you are because you spent that time to get to know who you are at the core, then it's not so hard.
Now I'm checking my face. Okay. Nancy, this one's for you. So if you could motivate every single woman in this room to leave here and do one or two things right away to communicate her personal brand, things that they can just take action on immediately, what would you recommend to them?
A couple things. I would recommend that you write down your brand and that you force yourself to get it to between 3 and 5 words. So many times, and I would encourage you to get a friend to work on it with so that you can have someone give you, you know, fresh feedback and kind of work through it. You don't want a brand that's 20 words because it means really nothing. Force yourself to be very choiceful and pick 3 to 5 words. And then the next thing I would encourage you to do is embrace social media. So go out and figure out what the social space says about you. Hopefully it says something that's aligned or is at least something that you can work with from a social perspective. If it doesn't, it's a huge opportunity for you. It's a huge opportunity for you to help manage kind of how you're coming up in search, but also the things that you share, the points of view that you have on social, it's a great amplifier because you must manage your brand, not just in the workspace and the folks that you know every day, but you must manage it much more broadly. We work in a constantly dynamic, evolving environment. It's insufficient just to manage it from an internal perspective. You must manage it much more broadly. So those are the two things. Three things. Find a friend, an honest friend. 3 to 5 words, embrace social.
And your brand does not hate current job.
No.
That's a motivator. It's not your brand. So, Beth, this one's for you. So, you know, we're talking about communicating our personal brand in everything that we do, but when you're on the job and you're in service, all of your talents are being, you know, are being hired or rented by the company that hires you. So how can we communicate our personal brand to get noticed on the job without being a distraction?
So I would actually say that the advice that my esteemed panelists here have shared already is fantastic, and I don't think it's any different when you're on the job. And I think part of what is most important is making sure that you are in the right job for your personal brand. So, after you're done writing down those two or three words, I would challenge everyone in this room to get really in touch with your personal superpower. What is it that is very unique and special about you? And as Nancy said, get a friend, a really good friend that will be honest and tell you, because if you're not sure what your personal brand is, others will tell you, because as the women that I've shared this table with have all said, you show up whether you know it or not. So ask someone close to you, get your personal superpower confirmed. I would share with you mine is building relationships. It's genuineness around other people. And then when you're clear on your superpower, think about your personal values. And so, you know, the innermost circle is writing down the two or three words about your brand. The next circle is your superpower. And the next circle is your values. My number one value is trust. And people that know me, people on my team, people in my company, my family would all tell you the same thing. It's trust. And then the biggest circle around all of this is, what are your passions? You know, what is your afterlife? You know, before I die, I want to, right? And if you can connect all those things, you will feel more and more authentic. You'll be more and more true to yourself, and your brand will naturally shine, and you will cast that positive shadow. We all cast a shadow, but I think it's important to think about the shadow that you're casting, and is it you? Is it big enough? Are you really showing up? And then you won't help but to get noticed, and you won't be a distraction. People will be following you.
Very nice. Now, see, wouldn't it be great if for Halloween this year we all dressed as our superpower? Everybody has a cape, and you put your superpower on a sweatshirt. Let's meet Vic here on the steps on the 31st, and we'll all take a superpower picture. I love that idea. Here's what I recommend. I counsel authors and publishers and big clients on building their personal or corporate brand, and I make them answer four questions for me, and so I thought I'd share those with you. So the first thing I say is, ask yourself, what is my value? And that's not your values, that is my value. It answers this question that anyone who's going to do anything with you is asking themselves, what's in it for me? What do I get from you? So that's part of your personal brand. What's in it for me that you give me? And that's your value. What's my variation? And that means, what makes me different from all other people who do the exact same thing I do? You can sell jewelry, and you can sell jewelry, and it can be the exact same jewelry company that you represent. But I'm going to buy it from you over you because of your variation. Like, why am I different? I'm a cheerleader personality. I'm a sincere personality. Whatever you are, that's your variation, and you want to make sure that you let people know about it. That goes into your voice. What is your voice? And your voice is not the tenor or timbre or cadence. Your voice is, how do you speak to people? Are you funny and snarky? Are you sincere and nurturing? Are you authoritative and confident? Whatever your voice is, you need to uncover what that is and always speak in it, because there are 100,000 people who will never hear the message that you have unless you're speaking it, and another 100,000 people who will, they can't hear it even if you're in their living room. They need to hear it from somebody else in their authentic voice. So don't worry about gathering your tribe. Worry about being true to your voice so that the people who need you and want you can find you. And then the final thing I ask people to talk about is, what are my visuals? And that's because we're different kinds of learners. We're kinetic learners, we're auditory learners, we're visual learners. And visuals are really, really important in all of our social networking. So have a decent picture of yourself. Face forward, eyes open, bright smile, teeth showing. That subliminally says to people, I can be trusted. And then prove that they were right in trusting you. So this is the question that I want to address to the panel next, and that is, can we reinvent our personal brand if our passions change, our interests change, our opportunities change? If something happens in our life that makes us take a left turn, we're going to have to reinvent because the opportunities we once had might be different. So let's just talk about, can we reinvent our personal brand? And Nancy, is it possible for us to change our personal brand, and if so, how?
It's a great question. I believe that you can, but perception always lags reality. So I think you need to be very realistic that it starts with understanding what your brand is today and where you would like it to go. And I would encourage you to take the long view, because it will take time. Even if you start taking care of your brand actively today, it will not change by next Monday. It does take some time. I would encourage you, when you think about your brand, in addition to all the great feedback that you're getting from this panel, to really think about writing down your brand and having it be something that you can see yourself working within 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. It should not be something that is just focused on the job today and focused on the job you're interviewing for next week. Take the long-term view. I know throughout my career, I've had really, you know, difficult decisions where I've had to, for personal reasons, I've decided to take a different position where I needed more time to juggle some family things, and my brand was enormously useful because it made sure that when I was taking my foot off the gas, I was doing it with an eye towards my brand and I was being true to my brand. And then when things got a little bit different, because, you know, we're all in different ages and stages here, now that my kids are feeding themselves, it's a lovely thing, I was able to get foot back on the gas, and my brand was enormously useful in helping me sort through and prioritize where I was going to go next. So I absolutely do believe that your brand can evolve. I do believe, however, that it does take time, and that it is something that you need to be mindful of and to actively and carefully manage and incorporate it into every single thing that you do.
Thank you so much. Beth, here's a question for you. Now, so we want to change our brand. Do we have to leave our current job? You know, do we have to find something new in order to change our personal brand? Or can we help our current employer see us in a new way?
I think it's a great question. And I think that as long as you're living and you're learning, you're evolving. And as you're living and learning and evolving, you're constantly changing your brand, and you're on your life journey. Whether you stay in the same role in the same company or move to a different country, you are you. So I guess my suggestion would be, as long as you're on the journey and you're learning and you're taking those positive steps, you can reinvent yourself as many times as you want to, as many times as you feel you need to. What I think is most important is that you're constantly getting feedback, you're constantly in touch with others and how you're perceived. And probably my favorite quote from Maya Angelou, which many of you probably know, she said, people will most likely forget what you said, and they might forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And we, every day, every interaction we have, every opportunity we have to connect with someone, we have an opportunity to help them remember how we made them feel.
Thank you. Hee-Sung, are there particular tools that we can use to help reposition our personal brands if we're in the middle of a reinvention?
I think the easy answer to that great question are things like, you know, like I did, change your name. Taglines or, you know, websites, or write a book or start a blog. But I think I agree with all the other panelists and Cindy as well, to when they say that reinvention is more about evolution than it is about, you know, changing the essence of who you are. But we've also heard words like authenticity and just be you and those kinds of things. But I have to say that there's like a massive caveat in my thinking about authenticity and being truly yourself. You can't be boring. You have to be compelling, or people won't remember you or care to know you. So I hold these series called CEO to CEO series, and where I invite another CEO, and it's not for the weak-hearted, because I tell it straight. And I say, you may not like me very much after this, and you don't have to take my advice, but the only way this will work, because I usually provide pro bono, is by letting you let me just speak my mind, and then hopefully something will happen afterwards, something good, and they don't just hate me afterwards. But when people tell their stories, it is storytelling, and it has to be interesting. So when I hear someone go, so when I was 5, I took ballet lessons, and then when I was 8, I'm like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. What is it that they're going to care about in your storytelling that will make you memorable to them? And make sure that you don't have to be so earnest about presenting everything that you do from the inside out, because they're going to be seeing it from the outside in. And be aware of their perspective and don't waste their time, or they will really not feel good about you afterwards.
Thank you. And now this is the question I'm going to ask myself. Because I've already had this question several times today, and I know that it's a concern for many of you. Can you have more than one personal brand? So, for example, I'm a businesswoman. I come from a hardcore publishing background where I'm known as, you know, a marketing, you know, maniac. And when I left the company, not of my own avail, during a downsizing, I wrote a book. And I was a little embarrassed about telling people that I wrote a book, because it was a light, self-help, fluffy book, and I just wrote it to help myself. And so I was uncomfortable merging my two brands. But what I found out was I never had to merge them. They were always the same brand. I was always still me, and I was just revealing a little bit more personal piece of me, and it all ended up working into a great little thing. I have a Facebook page now with almost 300,000 people on it, and a publisher just bought the second book and a page-a-day calendar, so look for it next year. But I believe that you always are who you are at your core, unless you do some hardcore, you know, work with a mental health professional and really look at some things that you might want to change. And for many people, that might be is extremely valuable. But to me, everything that you do is an interesting part of brand, that you're the brand, and all of the things that you create are your brand assets or your brand extensions. So me, Cindy Ratzlaff, I am a businesswoman, I am an author, I am a speaker, I am a mom. All of those things are part of my brand extension. And who I am as a person, which is a relentless, hardcore cheerleader, for everybody on the planet. I'm just like, go you. That's how I wake up in the morning. It's annoying to some people, but I speak in my authentic voice, and I've gathered my peeps. So you do not have to worry about having, you know, various interests, unless, of course, you're, you know, I guess if you were a pastor who writes pornographic novels, you might have a little bit of a twist, and then I'd advise you to make it into erotica, and you'd be very successful. So that is, you know, that's the question to that. Don't worry about the fact that you have a wide variety of interests. You are Renaissance women. You are brilliant women. Brilliant women have a billion ideas. You might not act on all of them, but all of those can circle around the brand of you. And the core of who you are is your personal brand. Just my opinion. Now, at the very end, I would love to hear from the panel, and then we're going to take a few questions at the end. So be prepared. We've got some microphones up here to help us hear you. And we will repeat each of the questions so that anybody who didn't hear it from the floor can hear it before we answer. I'd love to ask each one of you, so is there a person who has a personal brand that you really admire? Go ahead.
I don't know if any of you got to see Emma Watson do her talk in front of the UN. And she said during her speech, it's my terrible British accent, who is this Harry Potter girl and what is she doing speaking at the UN? What was amazing was she was there to promote the He for She campaign that really welcomed men into the gender equality movement. And I just thought it was such a marvel to see this, who I thought was a Harry Potter girl, you know, kind of absolutely reinvent herself through this speech, but not only in what she said, but the way she said it. She was so eloquent and so composed. And I just said, I feel good about the next generation with people like her around. So she's one that I really admire.
Very nice. Thank you. Anybody else have somebody?
Well, that's tough to follow, and I have to admit that we did get the question in advance, and I've Googled, and I've been quite stumped. But I do have an answer, because that's part of my brand. I am fairly diligent. It's a bit of a downside as well. So when I thought about whose brand I admired, I thought about consistency, because I think that shows discipline, and it shows an insight into yourself that is powerful and can be differentiating. And so the person I picked, not because of the content of their character, but because of their ability to have a consistent brand, is Madonna. And here's why. Because when I think about the Madonna of my youth, she was pushing the boundary. She was shining a light on topics that had some stigma. And now that Madonna is a 50-something-year-old lady, she continues to do that, whether it's going into Africa and adopting a child and not being in a marriage, or it's what she just did with founding the schools in Pakistan for the girls, breaking down the stigma around education. I think she's shown an ability to be agile but consistent to her core brand. So that's the best I could do with that question.
I like it. Beth, do you have somebody for me?
Well, I wouldn't say somebody. I would just actually do a shout out for the women I work with at QVC. We have a really unique opportunity in that our customers are women. The majority of the people on our team are women. And we are all connected really to each other. We're all there to help each other win. We all are helping each other be a mom, be a career woman, and be successful in our own right, and there's just something really special and unique about that, and to be able to connect with people that way. And I don't know about you, but this entire day is just totally inspiring for me, and I feel like my brand and the brand of everybody in this room is growing, and there's just something about 8,000 powerful and inspiring women that come together that is just pretty awesome and special. So my shout out would be for the women at QVC.
Thank you. That plays nicely into mine, so I appreciate that. Last year, I attended the conference and I heard Madeleine Albright speak. And Madeleine Albright left this impression with me. And I'm probably going to, choke on her quote, but it was something to the effect of, "There's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women."
Right. Right.
Right. And I thought, holy cow, does she get it? Here's a woman who's been, breaking down barriers all her life, and she bothers to turn around and look behind her and hold out her hand. And she appreciates the women who were ahead of her who held out their hand. And if we can be that kind of woman, we will have done her career service justice. So bravo to her. She changed my life with that one sentence. It was pretty incredible. And that is the conclusion of our prepared remarks. And I would love to give you the opportunity to ask us some questions about how personal branding can impact you, or questions you'd like to ask us about our workplace, anything you'd like to ask us. It's open season. But if you would mind, step up to one of the microphones, because then we can hear your question and respond. And thank you for being brave enough to step up to a microphone.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question is about translating your character traits into when you're applying for a job on a resume. So, for instance, your personal brand may be you're a giver, you're an advisor, you have a lot of wisdom, but your job responsibilities or what's on your resume, it may not come through your character. So how do you translate that so when somebody doesn't know you and your reputation isn't, throughout the company, how do you translate that for somebody to receive?
I think it's a great question. I think that there's a couple things that you can do. You can use some words on the top part to really summarize and convey the warmth and the depth of your character and your attributes there. I also think that most employers, I don't want to speak, I, I'm feel free to back me up or not.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that most employers also do a scan.
Yes.
From, you know, looking at your LinkedIn and things like that. So that's a great opportunity. If you're a giver, then you can, you know, repost articles about the value of giving back. You can tell, your voice can be amplified and it can be very consistent. And I think that's what they're looking for, is the consistency. So don't just think about the resume as your only way to communicate and convey your brand when you're interviewing.
Excellent. I would just add to Nancy's comment that within that, you also want to make sure that your brand is consistent with your interview with social media, and that that part of your voice is coming through. And really, I would also just say extreme attention to detail. You would be shocked at how many people have misspellings on their resume, sentences that are falling off, and things like that. So make sure that you're really succinct, that your words are chosen carefully, and that you're being completely consistent in how you articulate yourself, because there's nothing more disappointing to somebody that's interviewing you when somebody else shows up besides what they saw on that piece of paper.
So I think Nancy's talking about that key summary part at the top of your resume where you can really be a little warmer. And I love the idea that Beth just had about making sure that in you're demonstrating through your public social networks that you are a giver, so that you don't even have to say the words there. I'm going to go to this side once, and then I'll come back to you. Go ahead.
Well, that pretty much was my question, but I'll still ask it anyway. Face-to-face, it's easy to convey your brand, or if you work with people, networking. But how, if your resume lands on a pile of 200, do you get your brand across? I know you were answering the question, but I was wondering, do you prefer timeline, skill-based, or is there a way to really stand out your brand on your resume or in your cover letter?
Can I also my two cents in? That it all depends on what makes you shine the best. You know, if it's longevity, you know, then you want to do that. If it's the actual place you work, then that's what you want to emphasize. Is it the position you held? Then that's what you want to emphasize. But I also wanted to add that we get hundreds, if not thousands, of applicants coming into Money Engine, and for various positions. We read every cover letter. The cover letters are a great place to sort of say, my resume may not say this, but then if you say it really well, but don't tell me that you worked with literacy groups and you spell the word literacy wrong. It's happened, you know. But I think people forget the art of writing letters, and that does make a difference, at least with Mighty Engine.
Thank you.
The cover letter, the art of the cover letter. Excellent. I'm going to go over to this side now.
Good afternoon. There have been some really great ideas and theories shared. I love the idea of getting an honest friend and coming up with those 3 to 5 words, which is not easily done. And I wondered, in practical terms, if you can share what each of yours are, or that of the person that you said that you admire their personal brand. So, for example, Cindy, I loved your idea of relentless hardcore cheerleader. And I'm sure that wasn't something you just thought of today. That's something that's evolved over time. But in terms of practicality, can you each share yours or those of Emma Watson and so on?
Go ahead.
Sure, I'm a change agent who champions customers. 5 words. Change agent who champions customers.
Chief strategist, cultural psychologist, woman warrior. I mean, sorry, warrior mom. Same difference.
I would say genuine, respectful, champion of people. That's family and work.
Very good. And you heard mine. But thank you very much.
One more thing, that when you about the advice about ask an honest friend, they don't have to be friends. It could be your coworkers. I mean, my staff lets me get away with nothing. I mean, nothing. And you have to, if you don't surround yourself, if you're in a room and you're the smartest person in the room, go to another room, honestly.
Great advice.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go over here, and then I'm going to come over to this far left.
Hi, my name is Rashmi. I work in State Street. So my question is, yes, my brand is I'm smart, hardworking, initiative. That's how my managers see me. But I don't have experience, and that is what is being considered at the time of promotion. So how do you brand yourself against somebody who has experience but not all those qualities that I would have? Thank you.
There's great.
I'm going to start just I got this microphone. I'm going to start. I would present yourself as I'm a passionate learner and I'm a fast learner. And I once had an applicant for a job turn around at the end as she was just, I was saying thank you, goodbye, it was lovely to meet you. She turned around, she said, I've been waitressing for 6 months. I haven't found a job. I will work harder for you than anybody else on the planet. And I hired her because she was passionate.
Yeah.
And so, you know, say the three things that you said right now that how they think about you.
Hardworking, smart, initiative.
Okay. And I would just say that open to new experiences and willing to take on more responsibility.
Mm-hmm. I would add change your self-talk. You start by saying, I don't have experience. You have tons of experience. You just have to think through what it is and find a way to articulate it.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself second.
And just to build on that, you can go volunteer. Volunteering is a phenomenal way for you to get a hands-on experience that you can talk about and you can make real. And one of the things that Bristol-Myers Squibb does, we've got a great partnership with HBA, and HBA is an all-volunteer organization. It allows us to try new skills and get some new experience that we can use to build on.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to go over to the far left here. To you. It's you.
Hi, I'm Wanda, and recently I made a transition from a former company to my current company, and it's a great one, but I had an epiphany throughout the process, and I'd like your opinion and whether or not that would help other folks. How important is it that your personal brand resonate with that future company that you're looking to get hired into?
Hi, Wanda. Wanda works with me at QVC. I think that I feel very passionate about this topic, and the reason is that your values are something you can never compromise, and you will get to a point in your life and in your career where you're being asked to compromise, and your values cannot be compromised, and you will end up having to leave your company if your values are in conflict with the company. It has happened in my career before QVC, and at the end of the day, all you have left is your personal brand and the mark you leave on others, and make sure that you never compromise your values.
Thank you. I'm going to go in the center here.
Hello, my name is Inez Nelson. I own a private mortgage investment company, which means I fund short-term real estate investments similar to a way a bank would fund your home. And I was watching one of your videos, Cindy, you talked about how when you first got on Twitter, you were able to find an audience of people who wanted to be authors who needed your help.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, investing is talked about as much as people talk about how much they make, and which is never. So how would I go about finding my audience on Twitter and using that as a social media tool?
To me, I would start talking about exactly what matters in your business. I would start talking about success stories, not naming figures or anything, but just saying, if I can do this, you can do this. I want you to believe that you can own real estate. I want you to believe you can invest in real estate. You know, just helped, you know, at Donna Jones buy an apartment building, and she's on her way. You know, that's my personality. I would do cheerlead, rah-rah, all the people you help.
I can do that.
I just know you're one of my people. Yeah. Okay. And constantly using your keywords and making sure that you're on Twitter at least 5 times a day, 7, 10, 12, 3, 8, so that, because, you know, your tweets are only live in the stream for about 7 minutes. They're always there, but that's when people are seeing them, so you want to be online all the time. Use Hootsuite to pre-schedule your tools. To pre-schedule your tweets so that you're always there, and then go in at night and answer everybody and use their first name.
Can I add one thing to that? That I think it could involve a shift in the way you think about the way you describe your company also. Mm-hmm. That instead of describing it by only what you do in terms of your products and services, but describe the kinds of people that you want to work with. So in my agency, when I say that I provide, you know, communication services, that's one thing. But when I say I work with change makers, people who want to make meaningful impact in the world, then people are like, oh, I'm that. I'd like to, I must have to work with you. Mm. Versus a group called the Fossiger Fund that is no longer in existence. They were a group set up to work with loser companies, companies that were dying out. No one wanted to be associated with the Fossiger Fund because as soon as you did, you're like, oh, you're a loser company. You have to think about who you are trying to appeal to, and once you make that known, that becomes part of your calling card.
Thank you.
I am so sorry that we didn't get to the other questions. We have to vacate the room, and I really apologize. But find us. We're here. And I'm going
to
hear
just very quickly, I have to take an opportunity to say I was right in front of 2,000 people because I don't think I'll ever get that chance again. But I told you at the beginning that you would learn and leave different than you when we started, and I think that's really true. So a great round of applause.
Thank you.